Thank you, sir. I was thinking of a song, and it has such deep meaning. Years ago, I used to hear it often. Don't hear it much anymore. But the song goes, I'm not going to try to sing it, but the song goes, "By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more." And that's a sobering thought, but I believe that'll be true of all of us as we stand at the beam of judgment of Christ. I want to say thank you again to the church for allowing us to come. And I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do. And God is faithful. Amen. He's faithful to his promises. If you'll open your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I guess this probably is a passage of scripture that's used often in mission conferences. And I want to try to follow the Lord today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm going to read first 15 verses. I won't ask you to stand this morning if you'll follow along with us in the Word. The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers at Corinth, and he said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Now I'm going to stop reading there in chapter 8. Look at chapter number 9, verse number 6 and 7. He said, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Chapter 10, he said in verse number 15, in the bottom part of the verse, he said, "When your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And so we're talking about faith, promise, giving. And I don't know any other way to say it, but just it's faith, promise, giving. We're trusting God by faith. It is not a pledge. It is a promise made to God. And somebody said, "What would I do if I miss the mark, if I fail somewhere along the way to fulfill my promise to God?" Tell it to the Lord and start over again. Now, I want you to pray with us, and let's ask God to speak to our heart today. Heavenly Father, we know this. We know that folks become very sensitive when you're talking about the matter of finances, but it takes finances to operate the work of God. And I pray that you might speak to our hearts, shut out all the cares of life and the things that might be preying upon our mind today. Help us to focus upon this matter of getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. Defeat the enemy, and I thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And amen. Now, I want you to just let me tax you a little bit. I want you to look at verse number 5 of chapter 8. And I want to mention three things out of that verse. Apostle Paul said, he said, "In this they did, not as we hoped for, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Now, here he's saying they abandoned themselves to the Lord. That they first gave themselves to the Lord. And we're reminded of this. Faith promise given is money that God gives to you, or God will give through you, that he would not give to you if he did not know that he could trust you to give it to missions. That's faith. But they first abandoned themselves. Now listen to me. If you first give yourself to the Lord, you'll not have any problem in the matter of giving more in faith promise. But that's the key. They first gave themselves to the Lord. So they were abandoned to the Lord. And then they were attuned to the will of the Lord. They're concerned about the will of the Lord. And God does have a will concerning what he wants you to give today and in the future. So they abandoned themselves to the Lord. They were attuned to the will of the Lord. But then they were available under the Apostle Paul. They were available. They first gave themselves unto the Lord. He said it wasn't as we hoped for, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I want you to turn back with me to the book of Luke, and let's just look at a verse or two in the book of Luke, in the book of Luke chapter 6, and let's see what the Lord said. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And so here's the principle. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. You can't outgive God. We're talking about faith promise. Notice with me the book of Ephesians, please, in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And let's consider this one verse from Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at verse number 28. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good. And here's the reason, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I put on a side column on my Bible. I put on faith promise. And so God will provide for you. And so we must submit ourselves to the Lord. That's first. The matter of submitting our all to him. First giving ourselves. And realizing this, he purchased us. We are no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. And then his position is over us. He's our Lord, he's our master, and we are his servants and willing servants. Amen. And so I remind this, his power over us is in Matthew 28. He said, and all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And so Paul's surrender to the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 6, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so I submit myself to the Lordship of Christ. And then I surrender my will to him. Not my will, but thy will be done. They were willing of themselves, he said in verse number 3. Verse number 12, he said, for if there's first a willing mind, the matter of a self-will or self-centeredness are sinful characteristics of our carnal nature. And by the way, this sin will keep you from giving the faith promise. Thirdly, we must know in our heart the amount that God wants us to give. And so I ask God with a submissive will. I ask God, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And if you're truly willing to do his will, he will impress your mind with the amount that he wants you to give. Now, God has blessed you for these years of your commitment to faith promise, and we're looking now for a brand new beginning, a brand new year, and we're trusting the Lord to enable us to reach a higher goal. That's what it's all about. And so if you do what God tells you to do, and the next person does what God tells them to do, it'll all come together. And so if you're submissive to him, submitted to the Lordship of Christ, surrendered your will to his will, and then asking God. And so the basis of faith promise is this. It is an opportunity to exercise your faith. You can't please God apart from faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Yes. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so it is an opportunity for me to exercise my faith. Now, I want to say to you, the Bible said, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. The grace is a gift of God, and the faith is a gift of God. And our faith is increased. Hey, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so it's an opportunity to exercise your faith in God's ability to supply money to be used in the work of preaching the gospel around the world. It's an opportunity to exercise your faith in God's ability, not your ability, in God's ability. And so you can't take a calculator or a pen and paper and figure out. It doesn't work that way. I look back over the years and by the way, God has different ways of supplying our faith promise. It might be that God would give you an increase in salary. I've had that testified again and again in faith promise conferences where folks talk about that they committed a certain amount to faith promise, and the next week or the next few days, their employer calls them aside and said, we've been observing your work and we're going to give you an increase in salary. Guess how much the increase was? It was exactly what? It was exactly what they had committed by faith. And so we're doing what? We're exercising our faith in God's ability. He is the object of our faith. He owns the cattle on 10,000 hills and the cows on that and the taters under them. I'm saying God is not broke. God can take care of all of our needs. He can take care of our needs here or take care of our needs there. Brother Roloff used to say, when you begin to preach about money or finances, folks get cirrhosis of the giver. That's that nerve that runs down around the billfold. But I'm saying to you, it's reality. God saved us by his grace. God keeps us by his power. And God supplies all of our needs. But it's all by faith. We're by faith. Now, every Christian is encouraged to seek the will of God in prayer concerning how much God would have you give each week to missions. Now, my wife and I are on the road a good bit of the time. And so I'm not there to give every week, but we give our faith promise giving on a monthly basis. And so it might be that your giving will be on a monthly basis and not a weekly basis. But listen, if it is on the weekly basis, make sure that it's not spelled W-E-A-K-L-Y. Yeah, it is to be. We're trusting God by faith. By faith in our God and his ability to supply what he wants us to give. So how much does God want you to give? Is anybody going to heaven from Amon, Mississippi that you had a part in getting the gospel to? And so this is not a pledge. I say that over and over again because folks invariably keep talking about your pledge. It's not your pledge. It's your promise. And it's not between you and the preacher. And it's not between you and the church. It's between you and God. And so it's not a pledge made to the church or men, but it is a covenant between you and the Lord alone. And so this is not your tithe. I have to say that because I found through the years at some point people come to the matter of a mission conference and they're challenged to give. And so they think of how much they're giving from the tithe. And so they divide the monies in half. All you've done is rob God. It's a matter of recognizing that tithe belongs to God. And it's given through the local church. It's not given to your radio preacher. It's given through the local church. The tithe is the Lord. You said, well, John Rice didn't believe that. Well, he does now. Yeah. And he wasn't the only one that didn't believe that. But notice, it's not your tithe. Or it's not even a part of your tithe. I could tell you story after story how God has just dropped handfuls of purpose and handfuls of purpose in our lives. And I believe it was a result of being faithful to the Lord and doing what he said do. And so it's not a tithe. It's not a part of a tithe. The tithe belongs to the Lord, should be given through the local church. And so I say this, the giving of the tithe is just an act of obedience to the Lord. If you're not a tither, you are a God robber. I remember Dr. Hilbert Seitler talking about it, and he called it a tithy. When he first got saved, he talked about the tithy. But God helps us. Faith promise giving is an act of love. We love Him because He first loved us. And when we got saved, we wanted somebody else saved. And by the way, the closer you get to God, the more you want to see others saved. And so faith promise giving is an act of love and a step of faith. And our faith is in God, His ability to supply our need. Do you believe God could fill this building? Why, sure He could. But He won't do it without a little legwork on your part and my part. I'm saying it this way. It's as you become a channel through which the Lord can send more money to missions. Listen, that's faith promise giving. We are the channels, and God gives to us that we might give to others. And so faith promise is not a command for us, but biblical advice, and we're urged to do it. We do it with an attitude of willingness. No one's pressuring you. No one's forcing you, but a willingness. You do it as an act of worship. We're worshiping the Lord. Our giving comes first, He said, and God promises to give after we give and not before we give. And that's Luke 6:38. But then the blessing of faith promise giving in relation to the church. I remember in our home church when we couldn't pay the bills and was running in the red month after month, and we established faith promise mission giving in that church, and this is the old adage that folks give, and they say, well, if we did that, it would drain our church, take from our church, and we can't afford to do that. No. It is I'll tell you what it is. It is a opportunity for God to bless the local church. When you start doing what God called you to do, God's given you an opportunity to do the local church. That's what happened in our church. We wasn't paying the pastor like we should have been, and couldn't meet the bills. But when we started that, church has never been in the red since. And the church for many years has been giving over $250,000 to missions. But it started with a matter of getting our priorities right. Jesus first. Missions is not an afterthought. We've got some people that think of the missionaries and they call them missionaries, and they have a bad attitude toward missionaries. I'm grateful for missionaries. I praise God for those that are willing to obey the Lord and do what He said do. I want to remind you also that in that church at Antioch, there was five names missioned. Two of them was mentioned to be called out. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Man, the folks left in the church was just as important as those who went to the field. And so don't think you're a second-rate Christian. God has something for you to do. And so the blessings, faith, promise, giving provides a church with a means to obey the great commission, getting the gospel to every creature. Not some, not most, but to every creature. Faith promise does this. It develops a unselfish people. I was in a church. I don't know if I mentioned this here. I might have already mentioned it, but I was in a church not long ago. And when I went in, which this is unusual, when I went into service that night, the pastor handed me a check. He said, here's your love offering. It's a $500 check. And I preached that night. And so when we got through, and this is a temperature of the church. When I got through, the pastor was finishing up the invitation, and one of the men sitting on the second row said, "Preacher, the preacher said, I think we ought to do more than what we've already done for Brother Bryant." And a fellow over there said, "I'd give another $100," and so they just doubled it. They gave me another $500 check, and then And then they said, by the way, said we want to take the Bryants on for support, and we'll support them for $100 a month. And then they heard of my wife's birthday, and so they gave her $500. Now I'm gonna tell you something. That is unusual. We've got folks that still got the mentality of the 1960s and 70s, and so they think you give a missionary $25. Well, that wouldn't even. A fellow said to me the other night, said, "Here's $100, get a half a tank of gas." But I'm telling you, it costs today, and churches ought to be considering that when missionaries come in a matter of taking care of their expense. I mean, that didn't cost a bit extra. But I'm saying faith promise will do this. It will develop an unselfish people. And so it will purify the church, and it will guarantee the church needs will be provided if we'll do right with the matter of giving. And so then the benefits of faith promise giving to the believer, how's it going to benefit me? Well, in Galatians 6:7, the Bible said, give. No. He said, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so we're to sow the seed. We're to sow the seed. I'm going to get it right here in a minute. In Galatians 6, he said, in verse number 7, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so it will do this. The benefit to me is that it will assure me of God's blessings in my life. I don't know about you, but I want God to bless me. And if I want God to bless me, then I've got to be obedient in doing what he says do. Do you have a Bible reason? Do you have a Bible reason for not going to a field? Do we have some Bible verse that would give us some assurance that we're all right and not doing what God said do here? No. You come back to the fact, and he may increase your income in your commitment to Christ. He may decrease your expenses. He can give you grace to give anyway. And so they gave out of their poverty. It's this. It will not only assure you of God's blessings upon your life, but it will assure you of riches in heaven. If you'll back up with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6, and notice with me what he's saying in the book of Matthew chapter number 6. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, and let's look at verse 19 and verse number 20. And the Bible said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moss and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so it will assure us of the riches of heaven. The only wealth you will keep is what you give to the Lord. And so you'll leave behind houses and lands, and you'll leave behind cars and boats, and you leave behind guns and golf clubs, and you leave behind fine clothes and furniture, and you leave behind antiques and stocks. I say to you, you leave that all behind. But praise be to the name of God, I'm grateful that in heaven it'll be worth it all when we step down on the other side and we meet those that God saved because you were faithful in doing what he said to you. Every material possession will be left behind. But when the child of God leaves this world, he will be separated from all of that. And when you give to God, the offering envelopes become a deposit slip to the bank in heaven. Someone put it this way. He said, when you got saved, God opened up an account in heaven in your name. And only you can make those deposits. So what are we laying up? If we're laying up treasures in heaven, then our affections will be right. We're not reaching out for money. Our affections will be right. And listen, we're laying up treasures in heaven. Our allegiance will be right. We'll not be trying to serve two masters. We're laying up treasures in heaven. Then our ambition will be right. We'll be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added. And so when you give to God, the offering envelopes becomes a deposit slip for the bank of heaven. You may never have much in this world, but I trust that you will have riches in heaven. Not so you can strut around heaven with pride, but so you will have something to lay at the feet of Jesus. He's worthy of it all. So faith promise giving will assure you of growth in faith. Our faith's increased. What did he say? When your faith is increased. How's this increased? Saturating our life with the Word of God. And so a faith, someone put it this way, a faith that fizzles before the finish was flawed from the first. And so how's your faith? How's your faith? We're sowing and reaping. We reap what we sow, and we reap more than we sow, and we reap in proportions to how we sow, and we reap after we sow. But the simple principle is this, but they work. You understand this? If you only sow that which is temporal or material, then you should expect to reap the same, which is temporal and material. But most Christians are sowing for time. They're sowing for time and not eternity. Most of their time, their talents, their treasures, is used for temporal or material needs. And most of our money is used for that which lasts only for a little while. And anything you buy will soon be gone, or you will lose, or it'll lose its value. I can't even fathom the matter of the prices of vehicles today. Unbelievable. And used vehicles is more expensive than some of the new vehicles. And it goes on and on. But when you invest time, talents, and money in the spiritual or eternal things, then the things will last for eternity. Anything we have on earth will one day be worthless. We do reap what we sow, and we reap after we sow, and we reap what we sow, and we reap more than we sow. And so faith promises this is a matter of giving to the Lord, that the Lord might take that and help the missionary to go to India or Peru or the other mission fields that we've heard about, and in China or Korea. And God is interested in the souls of men. I got saved. I'm no longer my own. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. I'm his, and he has a right to direct my life. And I don't want to be resisting the Lord. I want the Lord to show me his will that I might do it. One of the prayer requests of my heart for years and years, as long way back after when I first got saved, God implanted this thought in my heart. I'm praying, dear Lord, I pray you would keep me usable. I want God to use me. I realize I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace, but I'm glad for others that gave that I could hear. I can't tell you the preacher's name that was preaching the night I got saved, but I can tell you the message. And I can tell you how God dealt in my heart. And I'm grateful for those that God has used through the year to touch my life and to bless my life. And I'm grateful for the opportunity, that small opportunity I have of being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy of our all, giving him my all. So faith promise provides support for missions, and the mission of the church is missions. And God has promised to provide grace, by his grace, all the money that's needed to finance his work, finance his missions. And so I challenge you today to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And I could tell you some other stories today, but I don't want you to misunderstand. I know this. I'm a nobody. But I know I'm saved. And I know that God has directed my life. And I know that God has provided monies for me to give. How often folk will go by that card table and they'll pick up a card. And one dear lady came by just a few days ago and maybe got a card and left $200 with my wife. And all of that, every bit of every penny of it goes to missions. And for several years, my wife gave over $3,500 through those cards above what we normally give. I'm telling you, God's a big God. And God has privileged us to be a part of His family. And God will give more through you than He'll give to you. So you consider the matter of the missionaries that you already support. It might be they need a raise, the ones you already support. And then pray that God would enable you to take on some other missionaries and continue to building and continue to build and continue to give and continue to give by faith. Our faith is in God's ability, not in pastor's ability. Our faith is in God's ability, and God is able to increase our faith. He does that, and may this time be demonstration of a faith that's increased for the Lord. And I trust that God will get all the glory and the praise, and that we'll step down on the other side one day and we'll meet some people. We'll meet some people in heaven that was saved because of what you did about getting the gospel to others. Thank you, Pastor.